From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Really, the day of this big old discount shoe store that really would sell inferior cheap shoes opens up. They have this huge, like 10 feet by 30 foot banner, this grand opening. And above the doorway of this little shop, that man put another sign, main entrance. That's like the kingdom of God. There is an entrance, but you gotta look for it.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. Coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Have you ever found yourself looking at a map, trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B, and it's like, man, I can't get there from here? Well, life can be like that sometimes. You just can't seem to find a way to get to where you want to go. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us that it's all about finding the right entrance. But just before the message, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship with Casting Crowns.
But right now, would you welcome Casting Crowns? Continue to worship together.
Empty hands held high, such small sacrifice. If not joined with my life, I sing in vain tonight. So may the words I say and the things I do make my life song sing, bring a smile to you. Let my life song sing to you. Let my life song sing to you. I wanna sign your sacrifice to reach a world in need, to be your hands and feet. So may the words I say, so may the words I say, the things I do, and the things I do would make my life song sing, bring a smile.
Yeah. Thank you, Billy. Thank you.
Wow. That wonderful man. Well, they have some CDs out back, so you can take them home with you. How's that? All right. Well, it's a joy to be here. I tell you, last night's concert was a blast. You had all, 2 nights ago, Friday night, it was, you had all kinds of music. We had jazz, we had hip-hop dancers, we had pop music, contemporary hula, we had rock and roll. It was amazing. And you know, by the way, I just came back from the mainland. Do you know what the most popular listen to music is now? Believe it or not, it's country. More people are listening to country on the mainland than any other venue. How many of you like country music? Howdy! Yeah, it's amazing. You know, and I'm starting to like it because there's some songs in country that are outstanding songs. The songwriters are great in country western music, but there's some that are really dumb. I mean, they are really dumb. I collected a few titles of some country western. These are true blue titles. These aren't fake. Listen, I call them, they come under the category of dumb love songs. Now, these are true. Here's the first one. Listen to this title. Her teeth were stained, but her heart was pure. Now, but here's the winner of the dumb love songs category. You'll love this one, my favorite. If my nose were full of nickels, I'd blow it all on you. I thought, yes, sir. And here's, it's kind of like, then they go the other way. They swing the pendulum. And so I call these dumb anti-love songs. Here's the first one. My wife ran off with my best friend, and I sure do miss him. But here's the winner. This one's so bad, it's good. You're the reason our kids are so ugly. Now, this one comes under the general category of just dumb. This guy must have had a suffering from a skin problem when he wrote this one. Because here it is. They can put me in prison, but they can't stop my face from breaking out. I'm thinking, what is this? But those are true titles. Some of you are here and you say, what does that have to do with Jesus? Nothing. It's just dumb titles. But I did want to talk to you out of a story that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 19. It's a story about a man, a successful young businessman that missed the entrance to the kingdom of God. Now I know in Matthew 7 it says this. It says, now narrow is the gate, but broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are that follow thereafter. But narrow or small is the gate that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Now, when Jesus says that narrow is the gate that leads to life, he's not saying that it's going to be hard to find. All he's saying is the narrow is the gate, which simply means to get into the kingdom of heaven or into where his blessings are, his relationship is, his friendship is found. In order to get there, the gate is narrow. What it means is this. You got to get through that gate one by one. You don't get in by somebody else's faith, by going to church, and it's a big church, so we must be fine. No, no. You get into the kingdom of God one by one. It's an intentional decision that you make, not your parents make, not your friends made, not anybody else. It's an individual decision that you must make one by one, intentional, person by person. And that's when what he talks about, the gate is narrow. So what he says here is the kingdom of heaven has an entrance, but you better know where it is. You know, I was listening to a story of this guy who had a little shoe shop, and he was a wonderful man, and he was convinced that his shoes were superior shoes. It was the best that could be made. When when one day this huge franchise of this discount shoe store builds this huge warehouse right next to his little shop, but theirs is now 10 times bigger. And it says discount shoes. Oh no, he thought, I'm just gonna be put out of business. And to make matters worse, the big guys were snobby. And they were telling him, we're gonna run you out of business, you mom and pop store. Well, before it was completed, he was praying, oh God, they're gonna run me out of business. What do I do? And God gave him a great idea. Now, hundreds of people were waiting for this grand opening. And finally, the day of this big old discount shoe store that really would sell inferior cheap shoes opens up. And they have this huge, like 10 feet by 30 foot banner. It says, grand opening. And above the doorway of this little shop, that man put another sign, main entrance. And that's like the kingdom of God. There is an entrance, but you gotta look for it. And that's exactly what happened in Matthew 19, where this young, successful businessman missed the kingdom of God. If you have your Bibles, you can read with me, but let me just read this to you and you'll see what I mean. It says this. Now one day, this young, successful businessman came to Jesus and said, Teacher, what good thing do I have to do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments, keep them. And then he says, well, which ones? And Jesus gives him the basic ones. He says, well, you shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to this young, successful businessman. He says, all these things I have kept, but there's still something lacking, he said. Interesting, you can have a lot of stuff in your life. You can be rich, you can have possessions, but there can still be something missing. And there was something missing. He says, I got all this stuff. I'm even kind of a good person, but there's still something missing. What is it? And Jesus said, if you wish to be complete, interesting word, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. In other words, he said, between you and me, there is a huge amount of stuff in your life. Here's what you need to do, Jesus says, there's something missing. You need to devalue your possessions because it's coming between us, and you need to increase the priority of your relationship with me. Come follow me. You know what the missing piece is? A relationship with me, Jesus is saying. Because you can have a bunch of stuff. You can even think you're a good person. But if you don't have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, there's always going to be something missing on the inside. You can have a lot of stuff in your life, but you'll know that there's something missing. You can tell when there's something missing, isn't that right? You can tell. My favorite story of that is a friend of mine. I was in ministry with, his name is Gary. And Gary used to run track. In fact, it was a relay. And his assignment was when the relay, bang, would go off, because you have to pass the baton to person around this track. So his assignment was to pick up the starting blocks, put them in, and then run over and get into his box and get ready for the baton pass, and then he keeps running. Well, the day came, and he was there, and the gun went off, bang, and he picked up the blocks and put them off to the side and got distracted when one of his runners said, hey, get in the box, the guy's coming around. So quickly, he runs over, whipping off his sweats, because he still had his sweats, and he gets in the box, and just then the baton hits his hand, and he starts running. While he was running, however, he recalled, he said, you know, it felt colder than it should have felt. And he said he looked down, and he had taken off more than his sweatpants. And he's heading for the grandstands, and he noticed everybody's up on their feet. This was a good show. He said, and then I had a decision I had to make, a decision to go ahead and have them see a good show or make a hard left turn and run across the field to the locker rooms. He said, I decided to head left and I went across the field to the locker rooms and just ran as fast as I could. Let me tell you, when something's missing, you can feel it. And that's exactly what happened to this young, rich businessman. He said, I got a lot of stuff, but there's something missing. He had a lot of possessions. You could be here and you have a lot of stuff in your life, but you know when something's missing. You know when something's not there. Because you see, God designed it that way. There's a man named Pascal that said it this way. He said, in everybody's heart is a God-shaped void. In other words, in everybody's heart, there's a puka in the size of God, in the shape of God. And the only thing that will fill that puka is who? God. You can fill it with everything else, but it just doesn't fit. There's something wrong. It's not filling. Some time ago, I was famished. I came back from a paddling practice. I paddled canoes, and I was just starving. But when I came home, my wife wasn't there, and so I just started ravaging, scoundreling, you know, going through the ice box. And you know when you're hungry, anything looks good. And she had a jar of dill pickles, so I ate two of these big old dill pickles. And then there was some milk left, so I drank the rest of the milk. And then there's some cottage cheese, so I ate cottage cheese. And then I looked around, peanut butter. So I put peanut butter and some crackers and then washed it down with the Pepsi that was left there over from the day before. And then I noticed, ooh, we have some pickled mangoes in there. So I ate some pickled mangoes. And then there was a Snickers bar I found, and I ate that. And you know what? I was full, but I was sick. I wasn't hungry anymore, but I wasn't satisfied either. You know, when you try to fill your life with stuff that isn't that which makes you fulfilled or complete, you can feel like full, but there's something missing. And that's exactly what happened with this man's life. He said, my life is full, but there's something missing. And then Jesus said, you want to be complete? Yeah. You need to devalue all those things that keep you away from me, that you're putting your security on, thinking that's life. You need to devalue that and increase the value of your relationship with me. So this is what he said. Why don't you come and follow me? Do you understand what the Lord just asked this guy? He had 12 disciples, but there was no magic number about 12 disciples. No, he was still recruiting disciples. He said, come follow me. Do you know that this guy could have been the 13th disciple? He could have been on record as Jesus's 13th disciple. But he said, no, I can't because I have too much stuff. And I was thinking, do you know who you're talking to? He's the richest person in the universe. He's the creator of the universe. And he's saying, get rid of your stuff and follow me. Do you know who you're talking to? And I thought, no, what are you doing? Say, no, I got stuff. It's sort of like this. If you have a child who's the child of a multi-billionaire, that kid might only have 10 bucks in his pocket from allowance, but if that's his dad, he might have only 10 bucks, but he has got everything. On the other hand, you can have a multi-billionaire father, but if you have estranged yourself from him, if you said, I don't want what you want, what you have, I reject you, I don't want to be identified with you, I don't want anything to do with you, he can go and accumulate for himself stuff in his bachelor apartment. He can have just a bunch of junk and stuff, more stuff than his other bachelor friends. But if he's cut off relationship with his father, basically he's got nothing. Man, that's the dumbest thing to do. However, that was this man's choice. And he said, no, I can't follow you. I got too much stuff in my apartment. And I thought, you dumb. Do you know who you're talking to? But Jesus gave him a decision to make. You see, that's one of the things about Jesus that a lot of people don't like. In schools, at work, you can talk about religious stuff. You can talk about the history of religion. You can talk about gothic stuff. You can talk about weird stuff, immoral stuff. You can talk about political stuff. But once you mention the name of Jesus, everybody, whoa, 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 whoa. You know why? Because when you come face to face with Jesus, he leaves you with a decision that you must make. Either he's true or he's not. You see, if you get another philosophy, you talk about this philosophy or that religion, you can pick or choose whatever you want. You don't have to make a real decision about it. You can kind of dabble in it or not. Like nobody thinks twice about it. But when you have an appointment with God and you come face to face with Jesus, he leaves you with a decision to make. Follow me, or if you choose not to, then you've chosen not to follow me. You make the decision, and people don't like that. But that's exactly the decision that he made, that he gave to this young man. Follow me, yes or no? And the man said no. I want to challenge you to make that decision today. For many of you are here and you've picked and chose and dabbled in, but today, the most eternal decision you can ever make with your life, you can make today. And that's that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, because he's not done recruiting disciples yet. Because if Jesus himself stood up here, if he were standing here, he'd say the same thing that he did 2,000 years ago. He would look at this arena and he'd say, come follow me. Because I know your future and I know what there is laying in store for you, but I know the way, for I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And we have to make a decision. And this man said, I don't want to make it. I'd rather fill in my life with other stuff. But he says, but there's something still lacking. We all know that you can't fill it with stuff. That won't work. And he said, you know, not only that, he said, but I'm a pretty good person. I'm pretty good. I keep, you know, the basic commandments. I don't kill people. I don't do stuff that you shouldn't do. I'm basically a good person, he said. And God won't send me to hell if I'm a good person. But what Jesus was saying to him, heaven is not earned. The entrance to heaven is not earned with good works because you're good. Nah. No, when Jesus comes in and fills that little hole in your heart, then there's a sense of completeness. In fact, he said that to the young man, if you want to be complete, you need to allow Christ to come into your heart. You need a relationship with God. Yeah, but I'm good. I don't need that relationship with God. I mean, I'm basically good. So that doesn't work. You're going to have to put that aside, the feeling that you're good enough. Well, you mean there's a price to heaven? Well, there sort of is, but it's not really a price like you got to earn something. No, heaven is not earned. Heaven is exchanged. Like what? Well, I've got to exchange my pride for his humility. I need to be willing to exchange my sin for his forgiveness. My sin? I'm a pretty good guy. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many of you think you've never sinned before? Raise your hand. Yeah, good, because if you did, you just sinned because you lied. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. In fact, the Bible says there's not one that is righteous. No, not one. All of us have turned away from God and gone our own ways like sheep that have gone astray. And so heaven will be gained by us exchanging our sin for his forgiveness, our past for his future, our error for his mercy.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Missing the Entrance by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you. They want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.